I'm Lisa Lupo, the host of TAG Talks Food Safety. In this episode, we will be discussing with TAG's Senior Manager of Food Safety, Angela Ferrelli-Gruber, root cause analyses and how they help to keep your products and customers safe. Welcome, Angela.
Thanks so much for having me, Lisa. I'm excited to talk about this topic.
I know. We're really excited to hear from you and learn all that we can about root cause analyses. So, given that it is a method of problem solving used to determine the underlying cause of an issue, when and why would a food facility conduct this analysis?
So yeah, Lisa, you can think of root cause analysis as a tool that can be used when a company needs to figure out a complex issue of something that's going on in the plant. We usually like to set up root cause analysis as one of these tools in a three-level sort of system of how people deal with non-compliances, the first level being corrections, the second level being doing a documentation of, how you're fixing the a problem that comes up in terms of investigation reports. And then the third one is a full-blown corrective action, preventive action investigation, or a CAPA investigation. And that's where we usually see a root cause analysis done. So to kind of break those three levels down just a little bit to give some context, corrections, right? If we're familiar with those are things that we do in the facility to correct something small that's happened, where there's an issue that's occurred, but the issue doesn't affect the quality or food safety of the product that's being made, and you don't necessarily need to document that, okay? The next level, an investigation report, is when something happens that needs documentation, but you exactly kind of know what and why something happened, so you don't have to think about or discuss with multiple people to try to get down to the root of the issue. So these would be examples like you have a metal detection one-off that happens on a product, right? You already have detailed programs and your people know what to do in the case of a one-off metal detection hit in the product. So you're going to do that, you're going to write it down, and you're going to file it, okay? CAPA with root cause analysis, we like to encourage folks to do this when you have a problem that's happened in your process where it can affect the quality of the product significantly, it can affect the food safety of the product, it could be a problem that would result in significant brand risk, and a lot of times these problems are either one issue where that happens and there's significant effect of quality, food safety, and brand risk, or you have a problem that kind of keeps occurring and you have maybe done a few investigation reports, but that problem keeps on coming up. So that's telling us that we haven't gotten to the root of the issue. So we need to go a little bit deeper. We need to do a CAPA with a root cause analysis. And so we also recommend to our clients to think about the sort of triggers that are based on your food safety plan and your hazard analysis that would require a likely CAPA with root cause analysis. So then you can kind of be primed to know, okay, when do we have to take this a little bit further than just an investigation report? And that could be if you're having multiple problems with metal detection hits, if you are having problems with sanitation, listeria hits on your EMP program could be good triggers. If you have a trend of consumer complaints with foreign objects could be a trigger. If you have an illness consumer complaint, that could be a trigger for a full CAPA with root cause analysis investigation as well.
Okay. So once you've decided you need this, who should be involved in this analysis and what information will be needed when you're doing, like what should you have kind of ready to go through before you start?
Yeah, that's a great question also. So we definitely don't recommend you trying this as a desktop exercise by yourself if, for example, you're a person in quality, right? And that's just because we know that if you are thinking that this is going to require a full-blown, corrective action, preventive action report with root cause analysis, it's going to take a multidisciplinary team, people who know different, who have different subject matter expertise about the process where that issue is occurring. And that really helps us get a holistic view of what's happening at that part of your plant. And that holistic view will help us determine what solutions actually need to be applied that can be effective, right? So usually who we see involved with this, it also depends on what's going wrong, right? But who we see is multidisciplinary. This is where it's really important to develop those cross-departmental connections so that your problem solving is really robust and people feel really comfortable communicating in one room together and sharing ideas about the problem. So this includes quality, usually includes operations, can include maintenance. Maintenance is a definite good player to have here. Sanitation, potentially IT, other engineers, maybe outside consultants if you need to. We'll talk more about them in the end as well, to try and get a diversity of insight into the problem to help figure out what the issue is. And so what you're going to want to have off the bat in terms of information are your the processing records, right? All of the records that pertain to the program where something went wrong. And that's where you start. And your traceability records as well. So knowing where that product is that could be in question. If we need to put it on hold, well, it should already be on hold, right? But if we need to do something after it goes on hold, so traceability records as well. So I would target those few things as the start of the information that you would want to have when you're starting this process.
So now we have that gathered and we have the people. What are the main steps in conducting a root cause analysis?
Yeah, of course. So the main steps are, we can kind of think about them as maybe four main steps. So first you'd have initiation. So this is where you're determining kind of beforehand and at the time of when the problem happens, what your triggers are going to be that would require you to even set off on this course that we're going to be doing a full-blown Kappa with root cause analysis. So you have those initiating triggers. Then you would do some basic corrective actions. So that is, you know, includes identifying where the product is, if you can get your arms around it, what lots are affected, determining what the potential of illness or harm is based on what happened. If it's a sanitation issue, if you have a hit on Listeria on like a zone 3, right, you can initiate some corrective actions right there. You can do a reclean and have that documented. And then the third step here is performing the root cause analysis. There are a couple of sub steps on that. So when you're performing the root cause analysis, again, you have your multidisciplinary team here together and you're talking about the problem. So you are gathering all the potential information that you might need to understand the problem completely. So what happened? That includes, again, these process records, records about who was there with the product, things that happened with the product before it got to this step in the process, if it was a metal detection issue, maintenance records, sanitation records. So you want to gather everything about what was going on in the plant that could potentially affect this problem and talk about what happened. Then you're going to categorize the evidence, okay? So if it was a metal detection problem that keeps on happening, you're going to categorize evidence regarding, all your metal detection hits, maintenance activities upstream from that metal detector, what's been going on, different information that you can gather about breakdowns that have been happening upstream, things like that. Then you'll use a tool to identify what the root cause is. There are a few different tools that you can use. TAG uses the fishbone diagrams. We use the 5 whys, which we really like. We'll talk about more about that in this talk a little bit, because it's the simplest one and it's pretty elegant to get down to the root of the issue. There are a few other tools as well that you can use for root cause. Then once you find the root cause, you're going to apply your corrective actions and address any contributing factors. So that might be if you have a sanitation issue, right? So that might be taking equipment apart to clean deeply, something like that. You're also going to apply and document your application of preventive actions. So remember, the difference between corrective actions and preventive actions here are corrective actions are applied to fix the problem that's currently going on. And preventive actions, we're putting them in place so that they can help us not have the problem happen in the future. And that can be changing if it's a sanitation issue, right? Changing the teardown frequency of specific equipment, changing the sort of chemicals that you're using on specific equipment to get a more effective clean, even changing equipment materials sometimes, or changing the hygienic flow, how people are walking around, especially if this is a sanitation or environmental positive that you're getting, right? Think about those things so that you're kind of changing the system fundamentally a little bit so that your risk lowers and you won't have these issues in the future. And then the last part of it, once you apply all those fixes, right, and write down everything that you've done, another important piece is the last piece of checking the effectiveness of the fix. Okay. And that is where you're letting some time happen and you're reviewing what you've done and you're reviewing data that's come out at this specific process point since you've applied these fixes to get a feel of or see if you can put some data to, was the fix that we applied effective? Are we still having the same problem or have we not had this problem anymore? So that piece is really important to really check your work and make sure that all the good work that we've done to apply these fixes is actually helping.
Okay. So yeah, let's jump back a little bit. You did mention the five whys associated with a root cause analysis. So can you go ahead and explain that and why asking a series of why questions does help to determine that root cause?
Yeah, so we really like the five whys again because it's one of the simpler ways to do a root cause analysis and it's really elegant, an elegant way to kind of get down to the bottom of an issue. You're kind of putting yourself in, a state where you just keep asking why until you can't ask why anymore. Okay. So we do that to sequentially move through the symptoms of an issue until we can get to the overall root. And I can give an example, right? So for example, if we're in a processing facility and we have maybe quite a few sites, zone three sites that came back listeria positive, and we're trying to figure out how to fix that issue. Okay. So the first why we say is, okay, well, why are all those sites positive? All right. The answer to that could be, okay, the sites are positive because they all had a common theme of either standing water at the site or maybe damaged equipment like a drain cap. Okay. So the next question you ask is, okay, well, why was there standing water and damaged equipment in these areas? And then so you talk with your team and we talk about, okay, well, we don't have a lot of preventive maintenance in this area. We don't have, it's not, scheduled unless it's required. And our sanitation programs are pretty basic in these areas also. So they don't get down to the nitty gritty of like how exactly to clean, where exactly to clean. So then you're still not at the bottom, right? Then you got to ask, Okay, well, why are we lacking these preventive maintenance and sanitation programs? So you talk about that amongst your teams, right? And maybe the answer there is, okay, well, the current state of the PM program is that maintenance of the equipment is done to make sure that the equipment can run. But we don't really have a similar arm for doing PMs for safety and elevating them up the ladder to get them done in a short order kind of manner, right? A way that we're, prioritizing them. They do have a GMP inspection program, but the lead time for parts is really long. And then there is a lack of sanitary design and oversight of the sanitation program. And that's kind of why these SSOPs are a little basic. And then you're still not done, right? Then you can even go further. You say, oh my gosh, okay, well, why are we lacking general awareness and prioritization in this area? So then you can say, again, you're going with your team, you're trying to figure this out. So you talk with maybe the maintenance team and they say, okay, well, and the sanitation team, and they say, okay, well, we do our best, but we don't really have a good baseline of understanding what good looks like. The timing of when we should be doing some of these PMs, pre-op or post-op. There's some scheduling issues that occur. We don't maybe have a lot of the training that we should have, or maybe you review the training and you see that it's not like robust as it needs to be. And then so the last why is like, okay, well, why is all that happening? So then you figure out, okay, well, maybe this is because we don't have a sanitation lead that's overseeing this program. And so the real reason why this is happening, right? Why we have a bunch of hits in this area and kind of sustained cleaning and sanitation that isn't effective, PMs that are done that aren't really addressing food safety and quality, is because there's a lack of resources at the top here. So we can work to fix some of these contributing factors, right? Get SSOPs up to date, change maybe the prioritization system of PMs, but we really need someone or a team of someone's who are driving this and overseeing this to ensure that everything is, in a, from a sanitation perspective, running the way it should be in a sanitary manner. So that's an example of, okay, of potential 5Y. Yeah. It gets pretty deep. Yeah. You can see. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you hadn't done those, you might have fixed the contributing factors, but then never really gotten down to that overarching that's going to help you keep that from happening again in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what if, say, I've asked all these five whys and I've gone through all the steps that you mentioned are part of the root cause analysis, but I still just can't find that root cause. What do I do now?
Yeah, and sometimes that happens, you know. We can't all, there's not always going to be like a smoking gun, right? To fix these issues. And so what you do in that case is you apply all the corrective actions and preventive actions that you can, right? This is also a good area where you can bring an outside expert to get an even different perspective on your problem to see if they're looking at something that you might've missed. So you do everything that you can, you document it, and you want to document this as kind of special, maybe like the root cause is unidentified, and you have that in your records, and then you create an action plan. You can't just stop there, right? You have to kind of create an action plan afterwards to trend and track and follow this specific piece of the process to see if that issue occurs again. And so if that issue occurs again, then what you do is you take out the old investigation report, you go through, you have all the details because you documented everything that you did the first time, all the corrective actions that you put in place, the preventive actions that you put in place. And so now you look with the new data that you have paired with the old data that you did from the last CAPA investigation. You might need to bring in more people, but there you kind of use all of the aggregated data that you have to see if you can now find a root cause of the issue.
Okay. So that kind of brought another question to my mind that you may have answered in answering that, but how do you know if you've gotten to the root cause?
So I'd say that effectiveness checks are really helpful in giving you some peace of mind to know if you've got to the root cause. That's why it's really important to kind of go back after you apply your corrective actions, you apply your preventive actions. And sometimes people do like a 30-day effectiveness check. Sometimes people do it once a quarter to go back and look and review the investigations, the CAP investigations that have been done, and see if any more non-compliances of that sort have cropped up. And if you don't see any more that have cropped up over time, that is data to push you in the direction of suggesting that you are, you know, you're pretty thorough in this area. Potentially you've gotten to the root cause of that particular issue. So that's why we really recommend like not stopping at just, you know, finalizing your investigation, implementing your preventive actions, and then being like, we're good. Kind of falling back up and doing that effectiveness check. And again, an effectiveness check should be done in the best way if you have the resources and time, not just in done by quality, not just done by the food safety folks, right? So you should get everybody who was in the room at the beginning to help you work through the issue in the room at the end to kind of review the different programs that they're overseeing that affected this specific process area. That would really compile a really effective exercise of an effectiveness check if you have that already kind of worked in. So what we see a lot is when people have like cross-departmental meetings that happen every month, you can bring up effectiveness checks at that time or during your like quarterly or biannually verification and validation of your system, you can look at effectiveness checks then. I wouldn't go too long without doing an effectiveness check. Yeah. Probably like the end of the quarter would be the longest I would wait. But yeah.
There's a lot to that, doing the root cause, but it sounds like, you know, you really really can, by adding all those things together, doing the different things, you can really get down to it, figure out what it is, and really kind of help keep it from happening. So I want to really thank you for all your expert insights. Would you have any kind of final words or takeaways that you'd want to be sure that our audience knows or remembers?
Sure. Yeah. So I think that it's important when you're developing these programs to look at your food safety plan and the hazard analysis that you have, determine with your team what your CAPA and RCA triggers are going to be so that you know how you're going to handle them if and when those issues occur. Make sure that when you're doing these investigations, they're multidisciplinary. Don't try to do them in a vacuum, because it will be really hard to be effective if you're doing these in a vacuum. Keep going on your root cause analysis until you get to the root of the issue. So you're going to have to, you know, keep on asking why. And at the end of the day, you'll get to the root. And then the last little plug is that, you know, TAG helps folks every day with root cause analyses. Something that we do, all of us do, like probably once a week. So if you have a problem that you're trying to figure out how to fix, give us a call.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you once again, Angela, for sharing your expertise on root cause analyses and their importance and how to go about doing them. And thank our listeners for listening in. Be sure to stay tuned to this channel, as we will be following up on the same topic in a later episode with more of a discussion on the corrective actions once you've determined that root cause and what more can be done to help with that. And to stay informed on all things food safety and ensure you don't miss any episodes of TAG Talks Food Safety, be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform. Thank you again.
Thanks.